Evening. The reading tonight is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1 and concluding at verse 16, and that can be found on page 1175, of the Church Bibles. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow in every respect to mature the body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good evening. I wonder what sort of week you've had. I have had a difficult week in lots of different ways. Lots of different pastoral things, some of which you know about, some of which you don't. And that's quite tough. I've got a cold, so my throat's sore. That's not great either. But we have a God who is unchangeable. I'm just checking I'm on. Am I on the right thing? Yeah, I am. We have a God who's unchangeable, who is always the same, who has a standard that he calls us to, and it's not dependent on how we're feeling or what's going on. He doesn't change. Today we're thinking about relationships, and I was looking in the Church Times, as I do very occasionally. I really ought to more often, because when I do, I find quite good stuff. But somebody has done a survey. Her name is Ruth Perrin. She's a lady who talked to 30-somethings who had professed a faith a decade earlier. So people in their 30s, who in their early 20s had been church attenders and had said they had faith. And she said to them, what helped you to stay in church with faith? Or maybe if you drifted away, what was it that led you away? And she says this, after I spoke at a conference, a woman in her 50s approached me. I didn't believe what you said about young adults wanting to be friends with older generations. So I put it to the test. This was one of the things that she told them. I invited my colleague and her husband to dinner and was shocked when she said they'd be delighted. My husband and I are the age of her parents. We had a lovely evening. And despite the age gap, we've become good friends. When we invited them to church, they said they'd love to come. I can't quite believe it, but they've become Christians. Isn't that a great story? And she's looked at what it is about relationships in church that help that to happen. So simplifying relationships, let's pray. Father, we thank you that though you are mighty and majestic and awesome and amazing, you call us into really simple relationships. Lord, we look at the complexity of the world and we're tempted to think that we need to understand everything. We want to eat from that tree of knowledge. And yet, actually, you call us to love one another, to serve one another, to bear with one another. So I pray this evening as we look at this passage and think about our relationships that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would bless us. Amen. So we've had this great passage from Ephesians, and I've done a Richard. I've highlighted a couple of verses, and those are the things I want to talk about. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. And then there was all the bit in the middle about different types of gifts and jobs and all that stuff. I'm skipping over that. And then we come to the end. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's start with that. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We want to be a strong body, don't we? We want to be a growing body, and we want to be a healthy body. And what this little verse is telling us is that in order to do that, we have to be securely held together. Now, I'm not a biologist or medical in any way, but I know that if you tear a ligament, it's a problem. And you can't do the things that you want to be able to do. So I looked up to see what ligaments are. Ligaments are tough fibrous cords composed of connective tissue that contains both collagen and elastic fibers. The elastic fibers allow the ligaments to stretch to some extent. Ligaments surround joints and bind them together. They help strengthen and stabilize joints, permitting movement only in certain directions. Now, if you were to change the word ligaments and put in the word friendships and think about our lives and our faith, friendships, if they're strong, will help us to stretch to some extent. Your friends don't demand that you're just one thing. They accept that there are differences and we might go different directions occasionally, but only to some extent. Friendships surround us. Joints are the things that move, that do the work. If we have strong friendships, we can be effective in what we do. Bound together, held in place. Friendships strengthen and stabilize us, don't they? If you've ever been in a situation where you haven't felt like you've got friends with you, if you've ever started in a new job or a new college or a new town, it doesn't feel very stable, does it? Until you have formed those friendships that help to hold you. And I think in church, I love this last bit, permitting movement only in certain directions. If we have strong, good, healthy friendships and relationships with one another, then we encourage one another in the right direction. We hold one another accountable. We ask the difficult questions. So, what makes a good relationship? Well, going back to that other verse, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Love is at the basis, is the key, is the foundation of strong Christian relationships. It's probably the foundation of most relationships in some way, but the kind of love we're thinking about is not a lovely, gooey, gushy feeling. It's a commitment, an action, an attitude to the other person. The will of your heart for the best for their heart. Good relationships are based on respect and realism. Be completely humble and bear with one another. We come a cropper when we expect more of our friendships than they can deliver. When we expect our friends to be perfect, knowing that we're not, then it's difficult because we get cross with them when they're not perfect. And we get grumpy with them because they shouldn't have said whatever they said to us. They shouldn't have hurt our feelings. They should have known how I would react. And so they shouldn't have done that. On the other hand, if I've got a cold and I'm having a bad day and I snap a little bit, that's okay, because obviously there's a good reason for it. So we need to respect one another and we need to have a good dose of realism and humility. Humility and honesty. Again, we're not very good at being honest. I'm going to finish this talk with a song that David Gregg found and sent to Richard and said, this is really good. And we went, yeah, this is really good. So we're going to look at that. And that talks about how honest we actually are with one another and how helpful or unhelpful that may be. Friendships and relationships take time and trust. You don't trust everybody you meet the first time you meet them. Well, you might a couple of times, but you don't keep doing it for long, do you? It takes time to build relationships and trust. And it takes patience and persistence. Now, I was thinking about this a few weeks ago, and I thought I would love to share with you my experience of this. I have a lifeline. I am here because of my prayer triplet. And I found this cartoon. This is why we pray for each other. And so I'd like to invite Kate and Linwin, who have been pre-warned, and who are very good friends, because this isn't necessarily their natural environment.
Not mine.
Linwin's got one microphone. Here's another, so we don't have to pass it around. So which do you want to be, the one on the front or the one in the middle? What do you reckon? You want to be in? Well, I want to be in the middle at the moment. What about you? Where do you want to be?
I want to be in a different place in a different week.
Good. Lovely. I'm going to ask these two some questions. So, Kate, how long have we been praying for as a triplet?
I
have to hold it right up close.
As a triplet, we go back decades and decades. The children were really quite young, I think, weren't they, when we started praying.
I'm not sure we even had children when we first started praying.
Maybe not. And then that was an original prayer triplet, and then one of our three moved across to France, and that was when we started praying with Linwin. And that's been decades still, hasn't it?
19 years,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
19 years.
I think it's longer than that.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's wonderful is that you'd never put the three of us together, because we're so different. We're so different.
Yeah, that's because I'm the nice one. So, Linwin, why don't you tell people what we do,
okay.
What we try and do.
Okay, we meet we try and meet every Friday morning about 8:30. And we probably eat together about an hour and a half. And we literally bring everything to the table. And whilst there's three of us, there's always actually four of us in the room, because God is always there. And we just bring everything that's on our hearts, you know, the good things, the bad things. We weep, we cry, we laugh. And then we pray.
And then we pray.
And then we pray.
We always pray.
We always pray. Always pray.
Do we spend more time talking or praying?
We would, if you're in the room with us, we would spend more time talking. But actually, God is with us and in those conversations, so it's not as though that's not prayer, because God is there and we're putting it all before Him. So the actual time when we sit with our eyes closed and heads bowed is less than we talk, but God's present throughout. He hears all our conversations.
I was nearly put off public prayer altogether when I was praying with one friend. I think even before we started, she used to talk about the Vidal Sassoon position. We don't do that. Okay, so we've been meeting a long time. Why? Why have we kept going?
Good question. It's interesting. I think it's really good that it's three of us, because we hold each other accountable. So if I get a little bit busy and wrapped up with work and things, one of us will always say, we need to meet. So there's great accountability in making sure the discipline is there. But why do we do it? Because for me, and it's the words that we saw earlier, it builds me up and it grounds me in God. So life is so busy. And when you come to each other and you stop and God is at the centre of it, it just builds you up. Hmm. Yeah.
Did you add anything to that?
I think there's very little time in life, even when you're meeting with friends, maybe sharing a meal together, when somebody actually says, how are you? How are you? And that's always one of the questions, isn't it? When we meet together, how are you? And it's not about the stuff, it's about how you are in yourself, whether how you are emotionally, how you are spiritually. And that's really precious, because there's not enough time for that. Mm. You might have that question, seeing somebody here tonight, but there's never enough time to actually say how you are. And yeah, we ask each other how we are.
Okay. Looking back, we've prayed about everything.
I've got to shoot you, actually, because you know far too much about me, actually, so we'd always have to be together.
Yeah, that's why we are still in it, isn't it, really?
We can't leave.
Is there anything that you would share that we've prayed about that's been significant? I didn't ask you this beforehand. I kind of assumed that you might think I'd ask you this.
I think we've for prayed me, about some really big our stuff. Children, gosh, have we prayed for our children from young to adults, you know, and I think... Yeah, the wonderful prayer we've had for our children have been just fantastic. Yeah, so special. Mm.
I'd say serious medical issues when life is overwhelming and you've got something mega going on. To have people like what it says, surrounding the joints, ligaments holding together, the friendships surround you and carry you through, and then you're the person in the middle, and you're carried through, and it's invaluable.
I think for me, I literally wouldn't be standing here without these two, because they saw me through all the finding a job, deciding that I was working too much, and I wanted to do more in church, stopping doing something in church, getting bored, deciding that I needed to have a job. And I remember the day that I told them I was actually going for ministry. Do you remember? I think there. Do you remember what the response was?
I think we probably said, well, about time to.
Yes. And they have prayed me through the whole of that, which is amazing. There are things we share, there are things professionally that we can't share. So I don't want you to think that, you know, if I know something about you, we pray about you, because we don't. We have our boundaries, don't we? But we pray for each other within all of that. Mm. Is there anything else we should say? Is it a terrible chore?
It's not, but you've got to be intentional. Mm. And what you realise is when you're intentional about it, the benefits are beyond, which is why I think we're still going, definitely. And it's one of the cornerstones in my life, my prayer triplet. Yeah.
I think something also worth saying is that we are, the answer that you get, or the advice that you get, or the wisdom that you get, isn't always what you wanted.
Oh, yes.
Not always.
They can be so annoying.
But.
And so wise.
But the benefit of doing it over, you know, an extended period is you know each other well enough that you can do that. It is this speaking the truth in love. There are occasions when the prayer that is prayed for you is not the one that you wanted. But it was right. It's right. So,
Yeah, I think these are the people that I can take things from that I won't take from anybody else. Literally anybody else.
We pray for Ian a lot.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So I think I do think that that cartoon really does sum it up. That is what it has felt like, that there have been times when we have felt like we are dangling over something and we're held up by the others. And it's been precious, probably one of the most precious things in my life, certainly one of the most precious relationships beyond my family. And I wouldn't, priceless. Okay, so those are the kind of relationships that we can build within the church, and they take commitment. And I would encourage you, if you don't have a friend like that, and as we say, it's been good for us having three, and we're not necessarily the most natural fit. I think we've grown into it. I can't imagine not being with them now, but have a think about that if that's something for you. But I wanted to think about our relationships a bit wider than that, thinking about how our relationships can bless the world, how we can bless those around us. And I came across this rather nice phrase, the ministry of presence. The ministry of presence. Somebody came to see me this week who was facing a lot of difficult things and just said, I feel like I need something more. I think I need a community. And that, I think, is such a gift that we can give, to be a community for other people. There are lots of gaps in our world at the moment, and some of them are getting wider because of the way society is. I think that everybody needs to be loved. They need to be known. They need to be valued for who they are, who we are, not what we have or do. They need to connect, and they need to belong. Now, if you just did this on a sort of a psychological level, you'd say, yes, that's all probably very true. But we know that it's deeper than that. People need to know that they are loved by God. They need to know that they are known by God, that they're valued by God, not for what they do or what they have, but for who they are. They need to know that they can connect with God, and they need to know that they belong to God. There's been other research that has looked again at younger people and how they have come into strong faith. And there was a quote from one of them. This is what it said. If we feel we belong in church, we are more likely to feel that we belong in God's presence. If we feel we belong in church, we're more likely to feel we belong in God's presence. That's a massive responsibility for us, isn't it? To think about how we welcome people. Each person who comes through our door on a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening, to any of the groups and events that we run, they need to know that they are welcome and that they belong. It's not about the numbers. It doesn't matter whether there are hundreds or just a couple on a Sunday. If those people leave our church building feeling like they don't belong, they're not valued, they're not loved, nobody wants to know them, they've not been encouraged to connect, then we have done something terrible, truly terrible. And as I said at the beginning, we're thinking about simplifying things. This is not about putting on more programs. This is not about us as a church doing things that people can come to. This is about us as individuals looking the person next to us in the eye and saying, hello, have you had a good week? Where have you come from? Tell me something about yourself. Would you like a cup of coffee? Do you know where the toilet is? It's not difficult stuff, it's simple. But it matters, because if we don't do that, then they are not going to understand how much God loves them. I've put a lot into this evening, lots of different bits, and I'm just hoping that there will be something that grabs you. We could do an entire term on this stuff, please. The last thing I really wanted to look at was Well, no, I lie. There's one more after this. Emotionally healthy relationships. Now, we can have friendships that are healthy. We can have friendships that are unhealthy. If you're a parent and you've looked at the sort of friendships that your children have developed, you will recognize that some of them are very healthy and they're great. And some of them really aren't. My younger son was very good at picking healthy relationships and good friends who would encourage him and lead him in the way I wanted him to go. My older son, not quite so much. He was a great friend. I discovered what a great friend he was when he went down because one of his friends had rung him at 3 o'clock in the morning. He was about to get into a fight in Woodhatch. And he rang David and said, "Can you come?" So he went and left a pillow in his bed and apparently a little note for me, so that if he didn't come back, I'd know where he'd gone. I didn't discover this until he told me about being chased up Nutley Lane by a gang of people at 4 o'clock in the morning. He was a good friend, but he didn't pick his friends very well. Anyway, sorry, emotionally healthy relationships. They take time and attention. The greatest gift we can give to anybody is time and attention. Our full attention. Emotionally healthy relationships need to be places where we feel safe to express all our emotions, not just the happy, smiley ones, but where when we're angry or when we're upset or when we're just feeling really low, if we can build relationships where people can share that, feeling safe to do so, feeling that they won't be judged, they won't be labelled, they won't be ignored, they won't be avoided, then that is amazing. I would love us to be able to be a place where we could do that. And that's about being vulnerable with each other. It's knowing that we can be vulnerable. Somebody said that we should remember we are a confessional community. We've said confession together tonight. We come and acknowledge that we aren't perfect, that we all have faults, we all make a mess of things. And none of us is excluded from that. And if we can come and be vulnerable and admit to that, then we will be stronger. There's something about being vulnerable and being able to talk about and wrestle with our doubts. Again, one of the things in this article they said was that young people who had been in churches where they were able to say, "I'm struggling with this," rather than feeling that they had to toe the line and agree with everything, were far more likely to develop a lasting, secure faith. It's difficult to admit that we have doubts. But doubt is not the opposite of faith. If we have faith, we're bound to have some doubt. How we live with that, how we respond to it, is what matters. How we encourage one another and hold one another, again, without rejecting, is really important. And the last bit of vulnerability, sticking around long enough to sort out disagreements. I hate conflict. My automatic response if somebody disagrees with me is to think I must be wrong and they must be right and I'll just back off. You might not believe that. I'm learning not to do that all the time. But some of us will just avoid conflict or disagreement at any cost. And to be able to be vulnerable enough with each other, to hold one another and go, "I love you even if you disagree with me. That's not going to change how I see you. That's not going to change how much commitment I'm willing to show you." That is real strength. There's a lot more to that, but just a taster of, let's think about whether we are in emotionally healthy relationships and how we can grow that. And if you want to know more, come and talk to me. And then the last thing, particularly with how we as a body cross-generationally support one another. We started with that story of the people who invited younger folk to lunch and discovered that they were going to become Christians. How amazing was that? We need to have champions. We need to have people in our lives, in our church, that we look up to, that we want to be like. People who are giving us an example that we want to follow. When I was young, there were people like that in my life. I could identify them and say, actually, whatever I do with my O-levels or my A-levels or whatever, I want to be like that person who I can see Jesus shining out of. And the great thing for me was that the person I most admired had one O-level to her name. But I still wanted to be most like her, because she was wonderful. And it gave me something to aim for. It gave me a different perspective of what was important in life. Mentoring is something that we do a little bit, but not very much, where there is a relationship between two people where one can encourage the other and challenge and grow. I think our prayer triplet is a little bit like mentoring sometimes, except we're more on a level. I don't know anything about football, anything at all. I just Googled champions and found that, and I thought, well, that might wake some people up at the end of the talk anyway. But champions are people that we admire, aren't they? And within church, we want to aspire to be like people who are living the Christian life that we can see works and is solid and is reliable and is firm. And if we look out for those champions, they will pull us up. They will help us to lift our game. And then in the other direction, of course, our aim should be that we are those people for others. That we are people who are living authentic Christian lives, solid Christian lives, that our spiritual disciplines are good. So that when other people look at us, they can go, ooh, yeah, what are you doing? What can I learn? What can I live up to? Okay. So how are we doing? Well, just to summarize all that I've just said, Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. It's not just about bearing with people. We don't merely bear one another's burdens, we bear one another, said Bonhoeffer. So we don't just do things for people, we hold people, the whole of them, with all their faults and failings and skills and strengths. We bear one another up. Are we mature and connected like those ligaments? Because if we are, then we can grow as a church. If we're not, we can't. Are we working on good relationships? Are we willing to be the people that bridge that gap for those around us, where they're looking for connection, where they're looking for love and acceptance? Are we those people and that community where they will find it because they need it? Are we working on emotionally healthy relationships? Are we challenging one another a little bit? If we're sulkers, we need people who actually challenge us and say, no, don't just go and sulk. Let's sort this out. Let's work out what's going on. Because when we sulk, we don't grow. When we avoid, we don't grow. Richard's very good at this. He's quite scary as a boss. Kind of invites you to disagree sometimes, don't you? Or to work out why you disagree and what's going on. It's terrifying. Terrifying, but it's good. Emotionally healthy relationships. And are we champions for one another? Given you a lot to think about. We're going to listen to this song in a minute, but before we do, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you are so faithful. You are so good. That you see right into the heart of us. You know exactly what we're like. And you don't run off screaming in the other direction. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people who can see one another, who can see exactly what we're like, and don't run off screaming in the other direction. Lord, would you grow our ability to be vulnerable with one another? Would you grow our patience and our commitment to each other? Would you help us to model the welcome that you offer us to those around us, that they may be drawn to you and find who they are in you as well? Amen.